still making some amends from time to time. They happen as they happen. But I got all those get up and go and get them ones done. These are the ones that sometimes you're not quite sure whether or not you need to make them or not. And I practiced steps 10, 11, and 12 to the best of my willingness. Today I woke up willing again. I'm on a record. Not that I keep track, but it feels that way. So it's good to be here. Thank you for chairing the meeting. And I love AA. I love Big Book Step Study. I like the depth and the weight that comes with these meetings. And it just gives me the opportunity to just to continually improve my spiritual life. And this has been a major part of it. The biggest thing about steps 8 and 9 that have done for me, it's created a database for me in my own mind. So when things crop up now, and even if I act or I don't act, but I know, been here, did this, and I know that's the saying, but that's what's happened to me. And sometimes it happens and then I don't look back, but then when I wind up talking to my sponsor, it's like, yeah, I've had this conversation before with somebody. Who was this? And, you know, it was when I did my fifth step. So I feel very lucky that I have stayed in AA as long as I have, because the opportunity to come to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity continues to happen. And what I'm finding is that, and I heard this the other day, and I've said the same thing more than once myself, is that I don't change. I get to be the real me that I never knew. Like, I still got that other crap in me, but the real person that I am inside is one of God's children. And if I do what it says, then I find out that I can be loving and kind and really care about it and other people. So anyhow, back to this. Now we need more action. Without it, we find faith without works is dead. Now, originally when I saw faith without works is dead, I would say it's faith without works. To me, it was like faith without the tools. If you don't have the tools, then you might as well give it all up. And I would always use some little story that I had about works and blah, blah, blah. But anyhow, I did find out that it comes out of the Bible. I never knew that. So it's faith without actions are dead, right? And I believe that. This is all about taking actions. The actions that we take, they go through us and through it and tell us which ones to do and which ones not to do, which ones to consider, which ones to put on the back burner, and what have you. We have a list of persons we have harmed and to whom we are willing to make amends. We made it when we took inventory. Well, they're saying that in the list that we made inventory, there's people in that list that we harmed. Not everybody on that list is somebody that I harmed. There's people that I have no idea that I hated them. What harm did it do? Right? It harmed me more than them because it kept me separate from them. I didn't get to know them, the opportunity. And I felt that when I got to in this place when I went to my high school reunion recently, 50 years, and I go back and this guy, David Frizzell, walked up to me, and I knew who he was. I never harmed him, but I couldn't stand him, right? I mean, I knew him for a little while. I discarded him out of my life. But he was as friendly as could be. You know, just think if I would have made amends to him, you know, like, why are you doing this? Why are you saying that, you know? So that's a really good thing to do, you know, look at this inventory for what it really is. But do I really know that stuff when I'm on step 9? Do I have somebody that's guiding me at this point? Literature doesn't tell me anything about somebody guiding me at this point other than me and God. David Frizzell never made the list to begin with. But that's just an example of somebody that could. There's other people that are on that list. There was this guy that I resented because I couldn't get him to curse. He was a big teddy bear and people used to push him around. I said, Rodney, come on, you're a big guy, smack that guy. And Rodney wouldn't do it. You know, and he was on my, do I need to go to talk to Rodney about anything? I didn't harm them, you know. It was just two kids and, you know, whatever. And so those are, if I did go to, you know, do that, what am I, bringing something up that he doesn't need to hear, right? My actions, I acted inappropriately in our relationship. Well, what did you do, Barry? I don't remember anything. Well, I told you to curse at people, and the guy's a rabbi, you know, so anyhow. So it says we subjected ourselves to a drastic self-appraisal. And with that, that's me and myself and my higher power. I'm alone in this deal the way I see this. And pretty much my sponsor was about that too. It's like there's no mention of another man. Not yet. There is coming up, but not at this point. And it just gives us another direction that says that if we don't have the will to do this, we ask. We ask God till it comes. And remember, it was agreed at the beginning that we would go to any lengths for victory over alcohol. Now, those two questions that I was asked, would I go to any extreme and did I want to quit for good, they turn it into any lengths. And they mention it again in this reading as well, in these two steps. But the idea of this is extreme stuff for an alcoholic to do, you know, painstaking. Yeah, it's rough stuff. You got to look deep and get this stuff and write it down on paper and then be willing to go and talk to people. Diffident? Yeah, I'm shy. I'm scared to death. Anyhow. So the first people they talk about are the business acquaintances and friends that we have hurt. We may feel diffident, shy about seeing some of them on a spiritual basis. And it tells us we don't have to go out and que sera, I'm here, you know, and we're going to be talking about spirituality and God. I just need to get down to the basic facts about what happened. One of the guys that I went to see, Brian Blakely, his name is, and he was best friends with my partner in business, and we were young when I went into business. Brian had a business, he was a carpenter, and we were electricians, and we shared a space. And Brian got into hard times, and he was a carpenter, and he had a shop set up, and we used the space as our warehouse. And so Brian didn't pay his rent, so I shut the electricity off. Right, and I locked it up. So Brian couldn't go to work. He couldn't make any money. So the story goes that Brian face to face, you know, Brian's about 6'2", he's a biker, and he stepped on my toes, not figuratively, literally, face to face, and he said, I want you to turn that power back on and I want it done now. And he says, and what you gonna do about it, big boy? And what did I do? I ate crow and turned the power back on and, you know, had resentment towards Brian. But, you know, I had a little fear about going to see him. But when I did go to see him, it wasn't that he really liked me or anything, but we did go to the cemetery to where my partner had died from this illness. And both of us were there talking about Tony. So things happen that you don't expect. And that's one of the things that happened to me that I never expected would happen. Brian calls me up every now and again when he's drunk, and he'll give me some crap, but then he'll ask me, what do you think about this, and what do you think about that? Because, and then he says, I'm so glad that you're sober. So we're not friends, but we're not enemies, you know? And everything that we have gone going forward since that day is on a positive note. Once again, I got to eat some crow every now and again when he looks down at me and, you know, gives me some crap. But that's okay. So what this is saying, we might prejudice him if we go in with a bad approach, right? And at the moment, we're trying to put our lives in order, and we're trying to make it so that our real purpose is to fit ourselves a maximum service to God and other people about us. And that's what this is all about. That's why I mentioned the idea of the database, is how do I do this for other people about me? I want to be the best person I could be. And it takes a lot of time. The thing about it takes time to get time thing. The growth continues to happen. There's not going to be not mistakes, and the literature covers that, so it's best to go on believing it. Yeah, that I don't have to talk about. And it says here, but our man is sure to be impressed with a sincere desire to set right the wrong. And that's what happened with Brian. The next thing that I had noted for myself is the question of how to approach the man that we hated. And when I approached Brian, it was simple. I just called him up. I said, I'd like to see. He said, what the hell you want? I said, well, I'd like to talk to you about, you know, things that happen. I'm sober, and I want to take and talk to you about stuff. And he was willing to do it. So I went, met, and did the thing with him. And I haven't had too many people. They talk about getting kicked out of an office. I've been kicked out of an office. I've been kicked out of two offices. One of them, while I was getting kicked out, I told him I was getting kicked out, and the guy stopped and listened to the story. That worked out all right. It was a business agent to an electrical union. Guy did not like me. And the other one was a woman that I was with in college, and there's a lot of deep stuff that went on with her, and she just didn't want any part of me. I went to where her place of business was. I waited for her, and I had previously talked to her sister, and her sister was on my list of harms because of some activity that happened inside of their house where she was there that I shouldn't have been doing what I was doing with this woman. So she was on my list too, and I did get to talk to Susan, but I never got to talk to her sister, Penny. Penny said, I would really prefer that you walk that way and I go this way. What am I going to do? What does it say? It's water over the dam, right? It's happened. It's over. I made the best attempt that I could. Would I have liked to have made it? Yes, I would. But in this case, I've done the best that I had to offer and the best I could do. Maybe I'll bump into that gal sometime again, but regardless. So, talks about not criticizing anybody. And, you know, that's a rough thing to do when, you know, you're with somebody and they're going to give you a lot of little guff back. And I've had that too. I want to make an amends to this lady in North Carolina, and you may have heard me talk about her before, but she was our bookkeeper at a company I worked for. And she used to ask me to call people up on her behalf because she was actually diffident, for real. And I'm like, you're the bookkeeper. This is your job to collect the money, not my job. My job is to get the billing done to you, and you write it out. And I'm trying to run the show with her. Anyhow, I go to talk to her, and she said, she wasn't there the first time I went to the office, and she said, I'm glad that I'm getting to see you. The girls told me that you've been reborn. And that immediately put a horror in my life, because it was, you know, that's what something I was scared about in North Carolina all the time. People ask me, Barry, you could be reborn and your life will be better and they'd be happy and, you know, all this stuff. And I got it under control. We have been reborn. She said, born again. And so I was able to once again swallow my pride and my fear and do what I had to do. And when I said what I said to her, she let me say everything I needed to say in talking about how I treated her less than, and I didn't appreciate what she was actually doing for us on a daily basis and the effort that she put into it. I mean, our company was so like outdated that the billing was in handwritten. Everything, there was no computers being used. I mean, this is in like the 90s. And she didn't know how to do it. And my boss, Osborne, he was like the same way. And we don't need that stuff. But anyhow, when I was done, she said to me, Barry, I got to tell you something. There were days that I didn't come to work because I didn't want to see you. There was days that I was at work that I just wanted to give up God and tell you where the hell to go. And she said, and there was other days where I just wanted to die. I didn't want to be alive anymore because I felt so bad for how you treated me. And I was like, whew. I didn't know really what to say. And I just told her, I said, I recognize what you're saying. I regret every part of it. And I don't do that anymore. At that moment, I made a comment about what I don't do anymore, which was kind of like a lie, because I still, today, do that kind of stuff from sometimes with other people. I will ignore people that I don't care for, and I don't know why I don't care for them. I won't be friendly in certain social situations, and I think I'm better than them. It talks about that, right? But it also tells me not to be servile in here. So, okay. Thank you. I'm putting along. But other hand, now they talk about, this is the first time they start to talk about other people. And they're starting to talk about other people with the thing about most alcoholics owe money. And they talk about this one situation. And this really gets me here. They say, and to a guy like me, if you tell me that I should go and arrange the best deal I can, oh boy, that guy might be in for a story, right? And I went and had to do that with somebody. But what I didn't realize, it was the boss of that company that I'm talking about. I extorted some money from the company for a pretty large amount of money. And I knew it was the wrong thing to do, but I did it anyhow. Ultimately, I decided to give him back his money, but I had spent $6,000 of the money. And I had it in the bank account, in my bank account, but I had his money in a safe. So I go to see him, I give him $19,000, and I said, Osborne, here's your money. I said, I kind of stole this from you when I told you that I had to make a payoff to somebody. And he said, okay. I said, I could get you the other money if you want it. Now, I'm not looking at it like it's still his money. I'm looking at it, now I'm giving him my money, right? So he said, well, I'd appreciate it. When can you bring that to me? And so I went to the bank there, it's Bank of America, and you know, got the money, brought it to him that afternoon. And what he said to me, he said, Barry, today you're a man. And today, Barry wasn't a man. Today, Barry had something that was haunting him and daunting him for 10 years, right? Gone. It was lifted. I didn't have to carry that one around anymore. And that's a lot of what this is, carrying around this stuff. And that one was just one that I knew damn well it was the wrong thing to do. But I knew it was a great opportunity to get it. And it worked. So it was nothing about it. So were there other people involved with that? Not really. But there are other people involved in my life with things. And one of the things that I did involve somebody else in my life about an amends that I was supposed to make, and they gave me bad information. They said, no, you were just a kid. You acted like a dick. And I said, well, maybe I shouldn't, but another reunion, after one came up, and this guy, David Kriegel, I was going to make an amends to him, was there, and he got in front of the 30 different guys and said, you all remember Barry, he's that guy that made friends with you, the best friend, and when he was done with you, he got what he wanted, or you didn't have anything that he wanted left. It was over. And I had told this to this guy, Richard, and he said, nah, I don't remember you, kid, but here, you know, this guy's got it going on still, and it was 40 years later. So that's where I think I need to be with me and God, because I knew it was the right thing to do. Maybe I was looking for a way out to go to somebody else, and that's something that I've been known to do, and so have others been known to do. All right, I got very little time left. So I'm talking about bitterly hated rivals, talking about the wife and the family. And one of the things about the family is, you know, my wife was pretty cool about me then. She didn't know me and doesn't know me in recovery. But the idea they talk about after a few years with an alcoholic, a wife gets worn out, resentful, uncommunicative, and she was alcoholic too, but that's where we were both at, and that's why we split up. But the idea that this tells us that we should practice patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love with the family as a way of living. And I really appreciate that. And those words are dear to me, and it helps me have to be close to my children now. The promises, it talks about the ones that we can't make, talks about the ones we should, there's plenty we should do at the home, that's what I just mentioned. And then there may be some wrongs that we can never fully right. And it tells us again about we should be sensible, tactful, and considerate, humble, without being servile or scraping. I don't want to be scraping. I don't want to go begging, right? So, and the last thing that's there, and I'll just talk about it, is these promises. And, you know, when it says in our thing, before you're halfway through, they're talking about the promises in our format. God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. And then it goes on to say, sometimes quickly and sometimes slowly. And that's the way this happens. Sometimes quickly and sometimes slowly. Sometimes there's that little burning bush. Sometimes it takes years to be able to have things develop over time. Really grateful I could be here with you all today. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Barry. If you are new to this meeting, please listen carefully. This type of meeting is highly structured. In order to speak at this meeting, you must have completed a fourth step as it's laid out in the Big Book with the help of a Big Book Step Study sponsor, and currently be practicing step 9, 10, 11, and 12. If you haven't done the steps this way or are not sure, please pass and check with the chairperson after the meeting. If you have done these steps as they are laid out in the Big Book, please share your experience with us. If you haven't, we ask that you be open-minded enough to listen. If you have a question pertaining to this step, please feel free to ask someone after the meeting.